I hope that there are times when you, and you're reading through the Bible, you should be reading the Old Testament. And you know, there's a lot of meat in that Old Testament, an awful lot of meat. And I have probably in 63 years of walking with the Lord, since I gave my heart to Him on November 5th of 1961, that's 62 years, I have read the Bible through I don't know how many times, but many. And every time I do, I find something new. I've seen it more than 60 times, because there were some years where my wife and I would read the Bible through two or three times a year. And I came across something a while back. Turn to 2 Chronicles, chapter 15, Old Testament, near the front of the Bible. 2 Chronicles, chapter 15. And I want us to look at the first four verses of 2 Chronicles 15. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa. Now, Asa was a good king, okay? Asa was one of the better kings in Israel. And so, Azariah went out to meet Asa, and he said unto him, "Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you." Now for a long season, Israel had been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord, God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. Wow. He was found of them when they sought God. No matter how many times I read the Bible through it, there's always something new jumps out at me, and this is what jumped out at me. We can experience war and fear as we read about Israel and Judah and their times of war. We can go through drought and famine with individuals whose stories are told in the book of God. We can experience blessings as we find promises that are directed toward us. And this is one promise, folks, that is really worth finding. I found one such incident in my daily Bible reading. It involved Asa, the king of Judah and Benjamin. Asa was a good king. He did what God wanted him to do. Question: are there ever times where God seems far away from you? Other times almost where you don't seem to be connected with God. You know, there are times for all of us when we experience difficulties and we go to God and we don't really feel like we're connecting with Him. Sort of like ceiling is brass and he's not hearing our prayers. Our prayers aren't getting through to him. It's usually involving a problem in our life or in our heart. And God hasn't gone anywhere, folks. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's where he always is. We have moved. Or a situation in our life has changed. And we don't realize it sometimes. Sometimes we know exactly, we can put our finger on it, you know, and we know exactly what it is. But there are times when God seems so distant. And there could be any number of reasons for it. It could be a bad attitude on our part, or some sin has found its way into our life. And that sin or that bad attitude become an obstacle to keep us from getting to God. Asa was one of Judah's really good kings. He followed the commandments and the laws of God. He walked with God. And I want us to remember that Asa was living in and under the commandments and the laws. Folks, we're not living in a time of law. Well, there are things that we do because they're the right thing to do. But we don't live under the law. We live under grace. Totally different relationship. The Jews, they had to keep the law. If they didn't keep the law, there was no chance of their being saved. And the problem was they couldn't keep the law. Asa, he did a pretty good job. His relationship to God was based upon obedience to a Mosaic law, which was given by Moses to Israel on the way to the Promised Land from Egypt. Asa was leading the tribes of Judah and Benjamin in the proper direction. In Asa's day, the Bible had not been written yet. They didn't have this book. And you don't know what a blessing it is to have this. All the answers are right here. We just have to look for them. We just have to read this book and find what we're looking for. God had sent prophets to tell Israel what they needed to do, but this book hadn't really been fully written yet. Today, we read the Word of God, and that's where you and I get our information. In the passage that we're looking at this morning, the Holy Spirit of God came upon God's prophet, Azariah, and he told Asa, the king, what God wanted him to tell him. If you look for God, he can be found. And I can tell you the same thing this morning. If you look for God, he can be found. He's not hiding. He's not moving about. He's where he has always been. So Asa was doing all the things that God wanted him to do. And so Asa was not having any trouble finding God. As long as Asa could find God, he had no problems that he couldn't take to God and expect God to cure. But Azariah warned Asa that if he stopped following God, that God would soon disappear from his universe. You know what sometimes happens to us? We get an idea in our minds, and we start pursuing our idea. And at some point, we see nothing but complications arising ahead of us. We think to ourselves, I don't see anything wrong about this. Bobby was teaching this morning, there was nothing wrong with what Paul was doing, other than the fact that maybe it wasn't God's will for him. And sometimes we do the same things. well, I don't see anything wrong or sinful about this, so I'm going to go ahead and do it. But it's not God's plan for us. You know, as long as Asa was with God, that would mean that Asa was doing the things that God wanted him to do. That God would be with him. But the minute that Asa began to do things that God did not want him to do, then God would be gone. God would no longer be close. I can't speak for you. I can only speak for me. I can't see your hearts. I don't know what's in your hearts. Only you do. You're the closest person to your heart. But there are times when I get on the wrong track. And I can get away from God in just an instant. I want to tell you this morning, God never leaves us. Jesus promised us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And Jesus Christ keeps his word. But we wander off. Are we trying to learn from him? We are his disciples. Are we his disciples? Are we trying to learn from Jesus Christ how to live a happy, successful life? That's why we meet here, people. That's why we come to this church. That's why we come here. Not just for the fellowship, and in the fact of Sunday school, not for the donuts and coffee, okay? That's not the primary reason we come. Secondary, yes, but primary, no. We come to learn about God. Because if we will stay close to him, he's going to be close to us. We can seek him and we can find him. You know, God is very consistent. He doesn't go anywhere. We do. You and I wander all over this earth, and sometimes we wander all over the place we live and we call home. We can get a long way from God in our homes, in our daily life. Returning to verse 2 of the passage this morning, we come to the second thing that Asa was told about his relationship to God. And I really hate forsaking God, because he told Asa that God would forsake him. There are times and many ways that you and I can forsake God. And I want to ask a question, and I don't ask it lightly. We can forsake God in so many different ways. Have you forsaken God in some way? Let me share just a few of the ways we can get away from God. We can hold a grudge against someone. Somebody did something to us recently, or sometimes many years ago. Many families have problems. They go back to many years, go back many years. An unforgiven sin or offense can become an anchor around you and my neck. Jesus clearly told us that we were to forgive the way we were forgiven. In Matthew 6, 14 and 15, Jesus told his disciples, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you." I've talked at length to people about forgiving someone. And I have been told by various people over the years that they just can't forgive. "You don't know what they did to me." No, I don't. Doesn't matter. What have we done to God? What have we done to Jesus Christ? We need to forgive. But I've had people come up with excuse after excuse why they can't forgive. Well, those people are not in fellowship with God. They're not. That's one way we wander off from God. Then there's the doing something that God has not approved. We do that a lot of times. When we purchase some article, such as a tool, you men, or some other thing that we want, but God knows that we won't get any benefit from them, and so it's not His will. And when we do that, we're getting out of God's will. Simple little thing like that. But we're getting out of God's will. We're getting away from God. Doing that simple thing might take you away from God. Maybe you want something in the way of a house or a car, and you make the choice rather than let God make the choice for you. You might be running ahead of God. You might be forsaking Him. We all do it all the time. There are many other ways that we can forsake God. We do it on a regular basis. We can abandon prayer time with Him. We can stop giving to others. We start missing our Bible reading times. Every once in a while, we're prompted by things of the world to either run ahead of God or to move away from Him. And when we stop reading our Bible every day, we get away from God. When we do these kind of things, we lose communication with Him. And it seems that He has moved away from us. But He hasn't. He's still where He was. It's us. We're moving away. We're told in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. God is the same all the time. And so when things change, the change is in us. The thing that caught my attention from our original passage this morning was the expression, finding God. How do we go about finding God? The passage tells us that if we seek God, He will permit Himself to be found. He is not hiding. God does not play hide and seek. He'll be found. He's promised to be found. Verse 2 of 2 Chronicles tells us that God will be found by those who are looking for Him and doing the things that He told them to do. It's when people do things that God has told them not to do that makes God very difficult to find. Do you feel that you may be distant from God in your daily living? In his word, he has promised that if you seek him, he will be found. Now, there's some qualifications to this promise. You must be doing what he wants you to be doing. You must be working on his plan and not your plan. Most of the plans, most of our plans, are different from God's plans. We don't think like he does. There was something I didn't say in Sunday school this morning, but we don't think like a Jew does. You see, Jews are under the law, and we don't think that way. We're living in the age of grace. God loves everyone sitting in this auditorium. There is not a person sitting here he does not love. Now, he may not be having fellowship with you, but that's not his fault. That's your fault. You're not doing some of the things he wants you to do. You must be working at his plan. Most of the time, our plans are different than God's plans. We let our appetites rule our lives. What was the third thing that Mike Schrock talked about this entire week? He talked about seven melodies in your life. And the third melody is also a word that you memorized for me several years ago when we were talking about the Holy Spirit. When we were talking about the Holy Spirit, I had you memorize Galatians 5, 22, and 23. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and then that last word, temperance. Temperance. That was the third thing that Mike was talking about this past week. Why is temperance so difficult? I tend not to be a temperate man. And maybe some of you are having problems with temperance. Temperance is control. Get a grip on it. Remember, Mike said, get a grip on it. You're going to be hearing some of this stuff for a while. Temperance is something that we are supposed to have in our life, but you and I cannot do it on our own. We can't. We're too weak. Flesh is, the heart is willing, but the flesh is weak. And temperance, we have difficulty with because it involves this flesh. It has appetites. It has desires. And many of those appetites and many of those desires are not in God's plan for us. And because we're comfortable in this body, we've been in it all our life, it takes control. It takes control. We're going to get into that in the future. I don't think it'll be tonight. I think it'll be next Sunday. But there are times when we are not temperate. And because of that, we get away from God. And when we need him, we can't find him. And it's not because he is not there. It's because we are not where we're supposed to be. There are people in this world who think that they know better than God knows. or there are people in this world that are not doing what God wants because they let others talk them into doing some of the things that God does not want us doing. Most of us love our families, but you would be surprised how much family gets in the way of God. Love in us for them causes us sometimes to do things God does not want us to do. Miss church. It happens. We miss church because our families are here or with us. Most of us love our grandchildren, but God may not, He may want to use our grandchildren to do something in their parents' lives, something that needs fixing, something that needs improvement. And they say, hey, grandma, they don't ask the grandfather, they ask the grandmother, hey, grandma, would you babysit with my kids? Or would you keep track of the kids? I won't tell you who in my family, but I have visited my family at times. And grandma is keeping the kids. And grandma is going nuts. Because the kids are having a bad day. And grandma is having a worse day. You think that's God's intention for grandma? I don't think so. I think that's one of the times she should have said no. But you see, all these little things keep pulling us away from where God wants us. And we're not experiencing what God wants. Many times, there's something else we do. We listen to our heart instead of listening to God. Our hearts, what does the Bible say about it? What does this book say? Oh, they're wonderful things. They're, you know, you really need a heart. No, it says the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Deceitfully wicked. And so that's the last thing we need to listen to. We need to go right to this book and start reading. Jeremiah 17:9 is where it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? We don't even know our own hearts. So, only God can know it. And then He will judge us for what He finds in our hearts. Love is in our heart, but that may be love for the wrong things. We may love the things of the world, and we may not love the things of God. We love God, but we love the things of the world more. That can happen. We're people. God places people in our lives to be loved by us. Somebody loved you enough to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. The person who told me about Jesus Christ, I remember his name and when he told me, and that was 62 years ago. And you can probably look back and remember who told you about Jesus Christ. Because God put that person in your life to tell you. Who do you love enough to tell about Jesus? Who do you love enough to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for them? Who do you hate so much that you will not tell them? There's two paths, two ways to go. Now, if you think about these two things, there are people you love enough, you want to tell them about Jesus. There are people you do not want to tell because you are not really loving them. Now you are beginning to define the workings of your heart. That's why we're told in the Word of God that our hearts are deceitful. There are people that we do not want to tell about Jesus. It's a love-hate relationship. Sometimes we're afraid of driving them away from us because they reject God's plan for them. And we are afraid of upsetting them by talking about Jesus, and so we don't tell them that God loves them and that God sent Jesus Christ to die for their sins. Folks, if they die in that condition, their soul is going to hell, where it will be forever. Forever. There are a lot of people who in their present condition will not find God, even if they look for him, because they're so filled with the world and the things of the world that God can't get close to them. There are times when you and I drift away, and God can't get close to us because our hearts are not right. In those times, even if we told someone about Jesus, we would not be effective because our life would not be right. There is something we all need to work on. I'm sorry that some of you were not able to be here all week. We bring folks in, like Mike, so that he can teach us something about God, something that will change our lives and make us more useful to God. He started off with the first thing that needs to be done. He called it the bass drum. He was using Sousa as an example or an illustration. Philip Sousa, the march man. But there is something that has to be done in our hearts. We need, every one of us need virtue. We need to decide what is right and what we are going to do. What is right? And we are going to do what is right. There are times when we drift away from God because our heart is not right. In those times, we seem to be not able to find God. And so if you cannot find God, if you're having difficulty finding God, you need to look here. You need to look inside. And you need to make a judgment. Is this right or is this wrong? and then we'll go back and do what's right. There are times in all of our lives when God calls us to come to Him. There are times He calls us, come on back. Come back into my fellowship. Come back close to me. Get rid of this thing in your life. And that thing may be very dear to us. That thing may be dearer to us than God. You say, how can that be, Pastor? That has become an idol. It has become an idol. And God says, get rid of it. As an idol. Not necessarily get rid of it out of your life, but get rid of it as an idol. Put it where it belongs. After God. After God. Not before. And we all have things that can become that if we're not careful. This morning we've been looking at finding God. Is this a time when you need to find God? Have you wandered away? If you've gotten away from your Heavenly Father, He will be found if you seek Him. Were there things that you should have taken care of last week and didn't because of pride or some other reason? Why don't you take care of them today? Right now. God is here this morning. He's here. He can be found. Why don't you seek Him while you can? Father, we do want to find You. We want to be close to You. We want to be in the center of Your will. And Father, we do know that there are things of the world that attract us, things of the world that divert us. Father, if there are any of those things in our lives this morning, may You help us to get rid of them. Then, Father, may You help us to find You and Your will and get back on the path You would have us to travel. And, Father, we will love You even more. May Your Holy Spirit have His way this morning in every heart. And may Your will be done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.